Title: Parallel Crunch Level Rides on Brakes Intermediate. All right, let's level up your brake beats with one of the most DNB effective tricks in Ableton, Parallel Crunch Level Rides. The idea is simple, but the impact is huge. We're going to keep your clean brake doing what it already does best, meaning crisp transients, natural swing, and that original groove. Then we'll build a separate, parallel crunch layer that's smashed, distorted, shaped, and controlled. And the key move is this. We're not just turning it on and leaving it there. We're going to ride its level with automation so the brake breathes with the arrangement. This is the difference between a loop that plays and a brake that performs. Before we start, quick mindset check. The clean brake is the star for punch and timing. The crunch layer is the attitude and momentum. You want to notice it most when you mute it, not when it's playing. Step 0. Prep the brake. Drop in a brake sample. Could be Amen, Think, Hot Pants, or anything you chopped yourself. Now warp settings matter. For a lot of classic brakes, Complex Pro can smear the transient detail. So try warp mode on beats instead. Set preserve to transients, and choose a transient loop mode. Then make sure your loop length is correct, usually 1 bar or 2 bars, and that it lands tight on the grid. The DNB aim here is punchy hits with steady swing. If your warp is sloppy, the rest of this lesson won't feel right, because your automation will hit at the wrong emotional moments. Now step 1. Create the parallel crunch lane inside a group. Put your brake on an audio track named Brake Clean. Duplicate that track, Command or Control D, and rename the duplicate Brake Crunch. Select both tracks and group them, Command or Control G, and call the group Brake Bus. You could do this with a return track, and returns are great, but duplicating the track keeps everything right in your face for chopping, arranging, and automating. It's brake-centric, fast, and visually clear. Step 2. Build the crunch chain on Brake Crunch. We're using stock devices in a really DNB-ready order. The goal is to control what gets distorted, make the distortion musically useful, glue it, then tame the top end, and finally give ourselves one perfect knob to ride. First device, EQ8, and this is pre-shaping. High pass it around 120 to 200 Hz. This is big. Distorting low end on the crunch layer is one of the fastest ways to get mud, flab, and weird low mid congestion. We want the sob and weight to live somewhere else, not in the distortion. If it's boxy, dip a couple dB around 250 to 400 Hz. If you want more bite, add a gentle bump around 3 to 6K. Second device, saturator. Set the mode to analog clip. That's your gritty brake edge. Start with drive around plus 6 dB. For heavier sections, you might push it to plus 10. Soft clip on. Then trim output so you're not accidentally slamming everything downstream. Unless you want that. But do it on purpose, not by accident. Third device, drum bus. Drive somewhere around 10 to 25%. Crunch around 15 to 40%. Boom is usually off for brakes unless you specifically want extra thump. Then transients, anywhere from 0 up to plus 15. This is a great recovery move if saturation made your hits feel a little rounded. Think of it like putting some teeth back into the attack. Trim output again. Gain staging is not optional here. If every device is making it louder, you'll think it's better just because it's louder. Fourth device, glue compressor. Attack about 3 milliseconds so some transient gets through. Release on auto, or somewhere like 0.1 to 0.3 seconds. Ratio 4 to 1. Set the threshold, so you're getting around 2 to 6 dB of gain reduction on peaks. Makeup off. We'll do gain manually. Soft clip can be on if you want that extra stability. Fifth device, auto filter for tone control after the crush. This is where you avoid that nasty fizzy top that happens when distortion and compression start boosting cymbal harshness. Try a low pass around 10 to 14K, or for a more surgical vibe, use band pass, and focus it around 2 to 8K so you get crunch presence without dragging the whole frequency range into chaos. Sixth device, utility. This is your main ride control. Utility gain is going to be the fader we automate. Set it low to start. Could be anywhere from minus infinity to about minus 12 dB, depending on how aggressive your chain is. Don't worry about the exact number yet. We'll calibrate it in a second. Step 3. Route and balance like a pro. Keep brake clean at your normal brake level. Don't chase it around. Then bring in brake crunch slowly until the brake feels more forward and energized, but not like a second brake playing on top. Here's a really useful calibration technique. Before you draw any automation, define your ride range. Solo the crunch track for a moment and set utility gain so the crunch is clearly audible, but not dominant at what will become your drop level. That's anchor point 1. Then set a second point for verse level. For example, verse might be around minus 16 dB and drop might be around minus 8 dB. Those aren't laws, just workable anchors. Now and solo, and do the ears verse check. Keep the clean break exactly where it belongs. Then blend crunch in until you notice it when you mute it, not when it's on. That's the sweet spot for parallel layers. Step 4. The whole point. Level rides with automation. Switch to arrangement view. On break crunch, open an automation lane. Instead of automating track volume, choose utility and then gain. That keeps your mix workflow cleaner and makes later adjustments less annoying. Now, where do we automate? Think in phrases and landmarks, not random moments. The best rides lock onto groove moments. The main snare, the ghost note cluster before the snare, and that hat pickup into the next bar. If your automation snaps to those moments, even tiny moves feel performed. Let's do a few practical DNB automation moves. First, the pre-drop lift. In the last 1 to 2 beats before the drop, ramp the crunch up by about 3 to 6 dB. Then decide what kind of impact you want. Option A. Snap it back down right at the drop so the clean break hits like a punch in the face. Super effective if you want the drop to feel bigger without actually being louder. Option B. Keep it up into the drop for maximum aggression. Great for heavier rollers or neuro pressure. Second, end of phrase push. At bar 8 or bar 16, do a short bump on the last half beat or last beat to hike the fill. You're basically underlining the punctuation of the phrase. Third, ghost crunch in rollers. This one is subtle but deadly. Add tiny pulses, like plus 1 or 2 dB, on offbeats or every second snare. It creates motion, without sounding like a look at my automation trick. And a quick automation feel tip. Don't draw perfectly straight ramps every time. Slight curves often feel more human. If everything is linear, it can sound like a machine doing math, not a drummer getting excited. Now, coach note, watch out for fizz ramps. When you ramp crunch upward, the harsh top end can become the loudest thing. If the ramp starts to get spitty, automate tone alongside level. As the crunch rises, close your low pass a little bit, or reduce something like 6 to 10k with EQ. Then reopen it after the transition. That way the listener perceives energy, not just brightness. Step 5. Add a macro so rides are fast and performable. Drop an audio effect rack on the crunch track, either at the start or end of the chain. Map utility gain to macro 1, and name it crunch ride. Now you can automate the macro, or even better, record macro movement in real time with a controller. Loop an 8 or 16 bar section, do 1 or 2 passes, then keep the best bits and tighten them. Recorded automation tends to have tiny imperfections that feel like groove. You can always clean it up after. Step 6. Make it react to the break with sidechain ducking. Sometimes the crunch layer starts swallowing your transients. If the snare stops feeling like it's punching through, let the clean break win the transient battle. Add a standard compressor after the distortion stages on the crunch track. Turn on sidechain. Set audio from to break clean. Try ratio between 2 to 1 and 4 to 1. Attack around 1 to 5 milliseconds. Release around 40 to 120 milliseconds. Adjust threshold so you're getting about 1 to 4 dB of gain reduction on snare hits. What this does is super clean. The crunch stays thick, but it ducks slightly when the clean transient hits. So you get clarity and weight at the same time. Now, quick mono check. Because parallel processing can get weird. On the break bus group, drop a utility and temporarily set width to 0%. If the snare suddenly hollows out, you've got some phase or stereo smear happening. Usually the fix is to simplify the crunch chain a bit, reduce heavy compression, avoid time-based whitening tricks, or make the crunch more band-limited so it's not fighting the clean layer across the whole spectrum. Step 7. Arrangement thinking. Here's a very usable 16-bar drop approach with crunch rides. Bars 1 to 4, moderate crunch to establish the vibe. Bars 5 to 8, slightly more crunch, like you're winding the spring. At bar 8, on the fill, do a quick surge, maybe plus 4 dB for one beat. Bars 9 to 12, pull crunch down a touch to reset and create space. Bars 13 to 16, highest crunch for the final push, then cut it right before the transition to make the next section feel huge. Also try this jungle-style move. During stop-start edits, crank crunch on the tail of the stop so it spits and tears, then mute it for the restart so the restart hits clean and massive. And one more high-impact arrangement trick. The energy illusion. In pre-drop bars, automate the crunch up while pulling the break group output down just a tiny bit, like half a dB to 1 dB. Then at the drop, bring the group output back to normal and reduce crunch slightly. The listener hears a bigger drop, but you didn't actually slam the master louder. Common mistakes to avoid as you do this. Don't distort low end on the crunch layer. High pass before saturation. Don't automate track volume when you could automate a dedicated gain stage like utility or a macro. Don't let hats get overcrunched. Use a low pass or EQ to tame 10 to 16k fizz. If it sounds hollow or facey, reduce compression. Try a different order, lower crunch level, or band limit the crunch. And please don't leave crunch at one static level all track. If it never changes, it stops reading as energy. The rides are the magic. Now a quick 15-minute practice run so you actually lock this in. Pick a 2-bar break and loop a 16-bar section. Build the crunch chain. EQ 8 into saturator into drum bus into glue into auto filter, then utility. Write automation for crunch ride like this. Bars 1 to 8, subtle, roughly minus 14 to minus 10 dB vibe. Bar 8 last beat. Ramp up about 5 dB. Bars 9 to 16, sit it higher, around minus 10 to minus 6 dB vibe. Then at bar 16, do a quick dip to near off for the last quarter to half beat. That creates a suck and right before the transition. Then resample or bounce the break bus and you in a slash B. One version with rides, one version with the crunch static at a single level. Listen for groove urgency, sere presence, and perceived loudness. Especially perceived loudness, because the best part of this technique is it makes the break feel like it's escalating without you just turning everything up. Recap to lock it in. You built a parallel crunch track inside a break bus. You shaped crunch using EQ8, saturator, drum bus, glue, and a filter, then controlled it with utility gain. You automated level rides to create energy and movement across phrases, the way DNB actually breathes. And you learned an optional sidechain duck to keep the clean transients punching through. This audio version is shortened for playback.